We are going to finish the chapter today because we only have two verses left. Not that that means much, but we are going to finish it anyway. Romans chapter 14. This was a rough week for Emma. Everything happened so quick, and she's over at the care center, and we were up there. I was up there visiting this week, and I said, you just do anything to get out of church, won't you? I said, but we have ministry Sunday this week, so we're coming out there anyway. She goes, oh, rats. You know, Emma. So it was good, but she's needing your prayers. Her problem is not an easy problem with the liver. It's not a good problem, but she is. Hopefully she'll be there a week or two and be able to get home. But keep her in your prayers. Keep her in your prayers. I don't know if she'll be able to get back to church or not, but she'll be at the care center for at least a week, maybe two, and then she'll be home. So, but keep her in her prayers, and Steve and Shirley too, as they'll be, you know, and working with her and her family. So she's a sick gal. She needs your prayer. We are in Romans chapter 14, and that's what we get to do, folks. We get to pray for each other. We get to uplift each other. We get to help each other. So that's great. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, starting in verse 22. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this truth. The truth that, Father, you have built in us faith. You have blessed us with faith. And the faith that you are building in us, it may look different than the faith that you are building in others. But Father God, it's the same, and yet it is played out differently in each of us. Because it's your work, and you are building us in such a way that we can touch lives that other people can't. So Father God, I pray that you would touch us with the truth that our faith is important. And Lord, how that faith is lived out is important. And that we are not all cookie cutter Christians, Father God, that someone else can have a faith in you, and yet it be shown in a way that is different than me, and that's okay. Because, Father, it's your work. So, Lord God, I pray that as we deal with this section of of being together as a body, living together as a body, and encouraging each other, I pray that you would touch us with the truth that you love us. And, Father God, we can respond to that love, or we can rightly, or we can respond to it wrongly. Help us, Father, to realize the difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in Romans, written by Paul, the theme of which is justification by faith alone. He is proving that all through it. First 11 chapters are about our identity, who we are in Jesus Christ. He explains it out, tells us we were lost without Christ, and now with Christ, we have him. Sin is not the issue anymore. It's who we are in Jesus Christ. So he solidifies us. That doesn't sound right. He makes us solid in that truth of who we are in Christ. And we get to chapter 12 and he says, okay, now let's live it out. Let's live it out. He says, your body is a sacrifice. We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. holy and acceptable to God. It's just a reasonable service, not to be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. And then he goes on and shows us that renewing process. So what we are going through now here is a simple renewing process of the mind. Taking what the world says and filtering it through what God says. Because the world says, look out for yourself. The world says, make sure you get your portion. The world says, conform everyone to your own standards. And God says, watch out for others. Give up your own freedom for the other person. Encourage one another. Edify one another. Build up each other. He starts out in chapter 12 using the gifts of the Spirit, spiritual gifts, to build the body. He goes on and talks about our attitudes towards God, towards each other, towards our enemies, toward government, taxes, all of that. Our actions, our attitudes, and how that affects others. And now what he's looking at is the preference issues, what we've been going through for the last several weeks. Are the issues that God says, you know, he doesn't say no or yes to wearing a suit on Sunday or to singing, having a praise band in this case, eating a meat that was sacrificed to idols, holding out certain days as special and other days as not. He doesn't say yes to do that. He doesn't say no to do that. And as he is building people, as he is building each of us, he builds us in a different way. He uses what we have gone through. He uses our personality. He uses our, and he builds us to where some of these people couldn't stand the thought of eating meat that was sacrificed to idols because they came out of that false worship. They came out of that problem area. They had a real problem in their own conscience with it. So he's saying to the strong, to those who knew that, you know what, eating of that meat, that wasn't really the issue. To those who knew that and could handle that, he says, don't condemn those who can't. And to those who can, he says, don't judge those who can. But he says to this whole eating of meat isn't really the issue. The issue is to help one another. So he's gone through that in chapter 14. We've come up to the fact that the kingdom of heaven is not about our preference issues. And what we started last week was living by faith before other Christians, having the right objective, having the right method. We talked about those things. not flaunting our freedom pridefully in front of others and not pressuring them into accepting our freedom. Does that mean that we never practice our freedoms in Christ? No, no. But we just don't flaunt it proudly, seeking to change someone else, someone who is God's workmanship in progress. But what I want to look at today is the right working of faith, the right working of faith. The last two verses here says, the faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. This is interesting because you have the same word repeated twice in two different ways. He says there, the faith which you have as your own conviction. The word have is very interesting. I'm going to get to that in a minute, but I want to talk to you just for a second about the faith. He says, the faith that you have. Now, that word faith is pistos in the original. And it's the word that can be translated either believe, faith, or trust. All three of those words come from that word. So we use believe different than faith, different than trust, and yet they all come from that one word, pisteo or pistos. It's not talking here about saving faith, all right? Keep it in the context of what it's talking about. It's talking about living out our faith. It's talking about how we view God, basically. How we view God's grace. It's a result of our perception of God. So this faith here is also given to us by God. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, where it says, you are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. So saving faith is a gift of God. And I believe this faith is a work of God. All right? This faith is the work of God in us. It's a faith that we possess, faith that we have because God has given it to us, but it's the faith of living out our Christian life. It says this faith specifically, which you have, and the word have, the first word have is to possess or to hold on to. This faith that you hold on to, this faith that you possess, that is in your possession, and it's a present tense, which means now, it's an indicative, which means it's thought to be true, and it's an active voice. You are not right now having this faith, and he's talking to Christians here, he's talking to the strong and to the weak, not the better and to the worse, not the greater and the lesser. He's talking to the strong in that a stronger understanding of God's grace, and the weak who have a weaker understanding or perception of God's love and his grace and his mercy. And neither one of those are bad, okay? But both of those conditions can be used wrongly. Both of those states, whatever state we are in, we can use it rightly, we can use it wrongly, right? But he says that faith that you are possessing right now, that you are grabbing onto, that you have, he says, have as your own conviction before God. The next have is the same thing. It's in the present active voice, but it's an imperative. It's a command. It's an extremely strong exhortation. He says, have it. Have it as your own conviction, which is another fascinating thing. Your own conviction. It puts the emphasis back on how God is working in you. Okay? Have it, the word as your own conviction, literally it's the word kata. It's the word, get your preposition circle. We have our preposition circle here. Love prepositions. Anytime you can find prepositions, they get me all excited because that shows me what to do. All right? So we have our preposition circle and you have a line that goes underneath that circle. That's kata. All right? It means down or under the authority of, put it that way. All right? So he says, this faith that you are holding on to, that God is building in you, the work that God is doing in you, have it, grab it, a very strong emphasis, grab hold of it under the authority of yourself. Which was fascinating to me. Because I would have thought, you know, under the authority of God, under God's authority, that way you can take somebody else who doesn't practice all the things you do and you say, you have to do it this way because God is I'm under God's authority. And okay, then you can stand on a soapbox and beat on somebody, but that is exactly what he's showing us not to do here. He says, this faith that you're grasping, that you have, grasp it hard, hold on to it tightly, under the authority of yourself. All right? Under the authority and under your own conviction is what it says. But under the authority of yourself, but look else, what else it says. Under the authority of yourself before God or in front of God. Our perception of God is extremely important. Our perception of God is very important. And yes, we need to grow in it. I need to grow in that. You need to grow in that. In our perception of God. Remember how we talk about our box? We talk about our God box? Say, well, no, I could never put God in a box. You do too. You know, don't tell me you don't. Because we have a God box. That God would never go out there. He would never allow that. Right? We have a God box. And yes, there is... I want to say limitations. Just don't throw anything at me, all right? Limitations on God. He cannot sin. He cannot sin. He would not be God. He can never forget our sins. Ooh. He chooses to remember them no more. That's his love in process. His love says, I will never bring your sin up against you again. He chooses not to bring it up against us. He will never forget us. He cannot forget it. He's God. But he'll choose never to bring it up against us again. That's his love. So, okay, there's our box. We put God in our box. But sometimes our box has things like the eating of meat, sacrifice to idols, or singing of certain songs, or whatever it is. We had to, I'll get to that later. All right. But anyway, we have perception, our perception of God and how big his grace is, okay? And that's why he knocks the walls off of my box all the time. Because I put him in that box and he says, really? So I can't do this? Boom! There goes that wall. And I can't do this? Boom! Okay, fine, I'll make my box bigger. Isn't that the dumbest thing to say in the world? I'll make my box bigger for you, God. You know? But that's our perception. That's what we do. And each one of us needs to grow in that, okay? Each one of us needs to, and it's God's work to help us grow. And in Christ's humility, in the humility of Christ, we are going to grow in that. He will continue to work on us. What does it say in Philippians? He who began the work will complete it. And that's in the perfect tense. He will totally and fully complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. He is doing the work in you in a specific way. Different than he is doing the work in me. All right? Keep going. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. The word happy is that word blessed or fortunate. Blessed or fortunate or happy is he who does not, the word not is very emphatic, who does not condemn himself. All right? The word condemn is make a legal decision against. Happy is the person who doesn't make a legal decision against himself. That's why that faith is to be held under the authority of yourself. And it's not saying, I am God. That's not what he's saying here. He's not saying, put yourself in the place of God. He says, have that faith that God is building in you. Put it under the authority of yourself before God. Under that self that is under God's authority. But he says, it's your faith. It's what God is building in you. He's using your personality. He's using yourself. And when you go against that, he says, happy is he who does not, what? Condemn, make a legal decision against himself in what? In what he approves. The word approves is regards as worthwhile or tests or judges as good. You know, the meat that he had talked about earlier, it offended. It needed to be understood that the meat was okay. The meat was just meat. It was just meat. That's all it was. It was no big deal. But it offended that person. That person needed really to understand that, you know what? The meat isn't the issue. It's not a big deal. God is. The focus is on his actions instead of God. That's the problem. The focus is on that eating of that meat instead of on God. Well, because of his personality, because of his background, because of what God had allowed him to go through to build him, he had a problem with that meat. And really, the strong Christian looked at him and said, you know what? There's not really a problem with that meat. It's good meat. It's good stuff, and it's cheap. But that person had a problem with it because it had been sacrificed to an idol he used to worship. So yes, he needed to grow in that. And as God works in him, he will build him to show him that and to grow him in that. But for the strong Christian to force that on him, did you notice it says happy or fortunate or blessed is he who does not condemn himself? For someone to come up and say, but you have to eat it. It's good meat. Just go ahead and do it. Forget about your preferences. Forget about your spiritual preferences. God doesn't care. And if they would go ahead and do it, then look at the next verse. Verse 23. If they go ahead and do that, what happens? But he who doubts is condemned if he eats. He who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. He who doubts, that's the weaker Christian that goes ahead and does it. The word doubt means to waver or to make a distinction. He sees a problem in their life with spiritual preference, but he's pushed into trying it anyway. He goes ahead and even though through his life he has this issue with it, he goes ahead and does it. And it says here that he who doubts is condemned. Now, the word condemned is the same word as to pronounce a sentence upon. And that word is in the perfect tense. It's complete and it's total. It's in the passive voice, which means he is condemned by the spiritual preference or the spiritual, by the standard. By the standard that he has set up for godly living. By his own standard, he's condemned. In other words, he has pronounced sentence upon himself. The standard that he has made is pronounced sentence upon himself. So you know what he is? He walks around defeated because he believes that he has let God down because of his perception of God. Okay? It's not showing faith in it. Why? Oh, look what it says. Why? Because his eating is not from faith. The word from is ek. It's out of. It's not, take our preposition circle. It's whatever, this big circle is faith. And it's that word that starts in here and it goes out of it. So his eating is not out of faith. It's out of trying to appease someone or trying to fit in or trying to, but it goes against his own conscience. And that conscience is what God is building. That conscience is what God is using for a specific purpose. I'll give you the illustration now. When I was at Calvary, there was a guy that came from, he had gone to Bob Jones, and he came and he was a speaker. He spoke for a week. And one of his sermons, he got up there and he was a guitar player. And so he gave his testimony, and he was in the drug culture. He was in a band. He was very big into rock and roll, very big into it. And he was quite, I guess, well known, but he was a good, very, really good guitar player. And he had come out of that. He had gotten saved. And the first thing he had done, even before he really knew what he'd done, he went to Bob Jones. Some guy had led him to the Lord, said, "You need to get into this college." So he did. He said he was living with this gal, and they went there, and they said, "Well, you can't do that at school here. You can't live together." He said, "Oh, okay." So he went to the boys' dorm. She went to the girls' dorm. He said he didn't see her again for 4 years. And then after that, he got married to her. So this she's now his wife. And he's a pastor in New York or somewhere. But he got up there and he was giving his testimony, and it was really neat. And he said, "No, let's have a time of prayer." And so he got into a time of prayer, and he started playing the rockiest rock song you can think of. It was amazing. It was just, I mean, and he was good. I mean, he had his guitar, and he was just rocking out. And he stopped, and everybody's going, "Whoa, what is this?" You know. But he said, "That's why I cannot play rock music now, even Christian rock." He said, "I just can't do it." You see, he came out of that culture. He saw the problems that were in that culture. The drugs, the immorality, all of that problem that came from that culture. And he attributed, in his mind, he attributed that to the music. And so he couldn't take the music now and put Christian words to it, and it just didn't make sense to him. He just couldn't get past it. Then you have another one that comes in, and to reach out to the young people, that's what they do. They take the music and they put the Christian words to it. And the guy said, he's going along and he's, I another speaker, a different speaker. He says, we're going along and we're singing. It was Steve Green's brother, Keith Green. Went to one of his concerts. He said, yeah, we changed the words to it. And we're going on and we're singing. And these people, all these kids are singing with us. They're going, yeah, and God is love, yeah. Wait a second, what? God is love? And he said, it was great because then they started dancing. They said, what is this? Hey, I didn't know about these words. And he said, lots of kids came to the Lord that way. So see, you have a spiritual preference one way, you have another. One guy who couldn't do it, one guy who can. You say, well, now, wait a second. What's right? What's right? And I guarantee if you go to any specific school, they'll tell you what's right. It depends on the school, all right? Because both of them worked. Why did both of them work to bring people to Christ? Because it's God's work and not ours. Because it's not my preference, it's God's. This guy who could not do it because of his background and because of his spiritual preference was reaching people to Christ that Keith Green could never reach to Christ. And Keith Green was reaching kids to Christ that this guy could never reach to Jesus Christ. Why? Because God was building in him, and God was building in him using their spiritual preference, not the doctrine. They both had the same doctrine. They both believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Both of them. But God used this guy in a way, and God used this guy in a way that they couldn't have used any other way. And people came to know Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure on both cases, some of them had people that fell away, or some of them had people that didn't understand it right, or came because of the music, or came because of something else. In both issues, in both instances, we can't judge the hearts. But God was the one doing the work. So Keith Green would look at this other guy and say, what's wrong with him? And this guy looked at Keith Green and said, oh, I could never do that. That's wrong. And yet God can use either one because it's a spiritual preference. Because if you look in Scripture, it does not say you have to sing this specific type of music. I grew up saying that. I graduated from college saying that. But God kicked that side out of my box. Doggone it. I'd rather he left that side on, then I could pound the pulpit on something good. But he didn't. He kicked it out. Why? Because God wants me to know him as God. God, and who is God? God is infinite. God loves everyone, and he uses each of us in his own specific way to reach people that he has in mind for us. You can reach somebody that a preacher cannot. I guarantee. I walk in and you say, oh, this is my pastor. They will shut me down. They'll put up a wall right there. Woohoo, preacher. That's why I love being a carpenter. It's so much fun. Because you go in, I'll be standing there in the lumber yard, and some guy will come in and just be himself. And I don't tell him I'm a preacher. Cheryl does. She rats me out. And then they don't talk to me anymore. It's amazing, you know. But you can reach somebody that I can't. I can reach somebody you can't. None of us is doing the reaching God is. All we are is planters and waterers. Isn't that cool? God is a harvester, and he is harvesting souls because of the work that he is doing in each of us. And you know what? God never put me in charge as a taskmaster, even as a pastor. I am not a taskmaster telling you exactly how you have to live in order to please God. If I start doing that, throw tomatoes, not rocks. Tomatoes, all right? I'll catch them and take them home and eat them. I really like them. But anyway, don't throw rocks. unless it's heavenly rocks. That'd be kind of fun. But don't throw rocks, all right? The problem is we get to where we do that because my style, I know, is right. You see, that's where pride comes from. My style, if mine is right, yours has to be wrong. You see, on some issues, for me to do something might be sin, for you it might not. It's sin because, look at the last verse, look at the last thing he says. Whatever is not out of faith is sin. It's not out of the faith that he is building in me. So for me it becomes sin. For this guy to get back into the rock and roll culture, even with Christian words, would have been a sin for him. Wasn't for him. We're not talking about named sins in Scripture. We're not talking about immorality or gossip or any of that. We're talking specifically about preferences. And he says, you know what? God's work in you is distinct. It's unique. God's work in me is unique. So my spiritual preference may be different than yours, but that's okay. So the whole point of this, and we're going to see the whole point when we get into chapter 15. He's going to conclude all of this, all right? But the point of this is that we are one body. We are not five bodies. The body over here that eats meat, and the body that doesn't eat meat, and the body that does this, and the body that doesn't do that. We have one body. Jesus Christ is the head of that body, and he decides what he wants this knucklehead to do. He decides what he wants the elbow. He decides where he wants the feet. He decides. And he builds us using our background and our personality and all of that in our life. He uses that. He puts it all together, molds it, and makes us who he needs for his purpose. Isn't that fun? You are a unique building of God. I am a unique building of God that looks different than you. We are not cookie-cutter Christians. You do not look exactly like me. That's what confuses people, because they want to say, oh, well, all Baptists are like this. And all Methodists are like this. And all Christians are like this. And they're usually telling me that while I've got my hat and my construction outfit. All Christians are like this. I thought, oh, really? Cool. Oh, I think I know somebody that's not. Oh, I don't know. That's just what I think. Okay. And so you do God's work. You show them the truth. How God built you. How God arranged you. And you can reach people. I can't. Because God is working in you. So God's work in us. It's God's work. It's not our work. I expected that to go a lot quicker.